So it becomes a little bit discomfort of the heat. So one of our objects of investigation is, what is heat? Just like, you know, 2 months ago, we had the investigation of what is cold. What is it? It's a feeling. Yeah. The body always has the same temperature, so where's the cold, where's the heat? Let's have a look. And why are we afraid of the heat, and why are we afraid of the cold? Why don't we like the heat, or why don't we like the cold? I mean, it's nice to investigate it. But the most important thing is, of course, make your mind calm. Stay with the Buddha, or stay with the breath. And whenever the mind goes out, then return to the breath or return to the Buddha. And that's where we need our strength. We don't need to power the breath, you know, or change the breath. We need to observe the breath, and that is the main thing. And then one Buddha, and then once the Buddha is finished, the next Buddha, or the same with the breath. One breath is finished, then just one breath. We are interested only in this one breath, or we are only interested in this one Buddha. And then comes the next. Don't think about 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, no. Just one Buddha, one breath. Yeah? And then the next Buddha, and the next breath. We can always do one, yeah? I mean, no matter what. If the pain becomes too increasing, we investigate pain. What is pain? Just like we investigate what is heat, yeah? What is heat, yeah? What are we afraid of? What is pain, yeah? Because when we get up, you know, there's no more pain. So what actually is pain? We don't know. We are fooled all by these things. Oh, it's too hot, it's too cold, you know, oh, there's pain, yeah. I cannot, you know, oh, I'm tired, yeah. We never investigate the things, you know, that obstruct our meditation. We just take it for granted, you know, and believe whatever the kilesas are telling us. This is this, this is that, you know, this is, you know, this is what I think, you know, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, yeah. Instead of investigating it, you know, what is it? Yeah? We are constantly experience something, but we don't know what we experience because instantly we give it, you know, we put a label on it, and then it becomes either likable or dislikable. Instead of investigating what the experience is, yeah, be it heat, be it cold, be it pain, be it, you know, whatever it is, yeah. Why don't we investigate it? Yeah? Why are we constantly fooled by the kilesas who tell us we don't like this, we don't like that, we want this and we want that? Yeah. Instead of asking why do we want this? Yeah. Why do we dislike this? What is this? What I dislike? Yeah. That is the investigation. What is it? How does it feel? Huh? How does greed feel? How does hate feel? And so on, yeah. We have to investigate these things. But for that, you know, for doing our investigation, of course our mind has to be completely calm. Yeah. If the mind is not completely calm, it's still thinking and memorizing all these things, you know, I mean, then we cannot really truly investigate. We investigate, you know, with a calm mind, yeah. And the sharper our mind is, the better it is. The more it goes through, you know, goes through the thickness of the kilesas who tell us what to do, what to like, what not to do, what not to like. Remember this, yeah? And all what is necessary at one moment is one moment, you know? And then we experience this one moment, yeah? Without putting any labels on it, yeah? Then we experience the next moment without putting any labels on it, yeah. So that the mind stays calm, yeah, and focused, you know, on the object, yeah, be it the Buddha, be it the breath, or be it the pain, or whatever we want to investigate. Investigation, you know, is that what creates wisdom? Yeah? I mean, I talked often about it, yeah? And investigation is putting our attention on the object, for instance, pain, and then asking the question. Yeah? So, first of all, you know, for pain, yeah? What is pain? You know, how does it feel like? Let's breathe in the pain, yeah? Let's experience it in the whole body. What is pain? Then, where actually is the pain located? Where is the spot of the pain? Yeah? And then once we put our attention on the spot of the pain, then we can investigate, you know, I mean, where is actually the pain located? Is this in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the tendons? Is this in the muscles? Yeah? Where actually is this pain? Yeah? And if you investigate it correctly, it will disappear and reappear in another spot. And then we go, you know, with our attention to the next spot, you know, and do the same kind of investigation. Until, yeah, it shows us where it's coming from. Of course, we think we know where it's coming from. That doesn't help. We have to see it with our own inner eyes, yeah, and then we can understand, yeah. And then most of our problems with pain, you know, is overcome. Not all, you know, I mean, last time I think I talked about the three stages of pain, but, you know, I mean, leave it out for the moment, yeah? We can investigate pain, you know, until we know where it's coming from, until we clearly see it, yeah? So we are not fooled anymore, because we know we are fooled the moment we stand up and the pain is gone, yeah? That's how we are fooled. You're constantly fooled by the kilesas. Telling us this is happening, you know, we don't even know what is happening. Telling us that is happening, or this is what we like, and that is what we like, because we never investigated. What is it what I don't like? Huh? Or what is it what I like, yeah? What kind of pleasure gives me this? We never investigated, yeah? Because if we investigated, then we would know that the pleasure, you know, the happiness arises in our heart, yeah? And the displeasure also arises in our heart, yeah? So we should look at our heart where the pleasure arises and displeasure arises, yeah? And then go back and see, you know, what caused, you know, what might have caused it, you know, until we find, you know, the stone, yeah, that creates a circle in a pond, yeah? There must be a stone, you know, but we always look at the circles of the pond and never, you know, look at the stone that creates a circle, yeah? Or the waves, yeah? Whatever. Yeah? This is something that we should do, yeah? And we shouldn't really, you know, I mean, nowadays, you know, there's so much knowledge, you know? I mean, within our hands, you know, I mean, we have the knowledge of the world, huh? But knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Knowledge is, you know, what all people, you know, in this world nowadays, we know it, you know, what all people in the world know, yeah? I mean, we can look it up, you know, I mean, with Google or with Siri or nowadays with DeepSeek, you know, or ChatGPT or whatever it is called, yeah? That is knowledge, that is not wisdom. I mean, we might know the suttas of the Lord Buddha, that is fine, yeah? But we still have to practice them. And practice them, then that gives all the difficulties that we have right now, yeah? I mean, how do we concentrate on one object? Yeah, he says, you know, we should concentrate, you know, anapanasati, on the arising of and ceasing of the breath, in-breath and out-breath, yeah? Having sati, having awareness of breathing in and breathing out, yeah? Yeah, but actually to do it, it is quite a different thing. And nobody can teach us that, yeah? It is our experience, it is our effort, you know, to experience then the calmness of the mind, you know, once all the thoughts and all the memories are gone, yeah? Then there is no future, there is no past, and there is no self, yeah? There's no worries, there's no fear, there's nothing, then, you know, contentment or peace, you know, or happiness or whatever, yeah? Whatever is there in the heart, always has been there in the heart, yeah? But we fail to look at the heart, you know, because we always assume, you know, things are happening outside of us. So taking, you know, taking the suttas is okay, you know, but, you know, the suttas itself, in itself, are not wisdom. Wisdom is developed in our own heart. Remember, the Lord Buddha, you know, found the wisdom, you know, in his own heart, you know, and then, you know, he proclaimed the suttas, you know, he proclaimed his teaching of anicca, anatta, dukkha, yeah, of the four stages of enlightenment, yeah. Of the Four Noble Truths, yeah, and so on, yeah. Of karma, yeah. And you know the ten fetters, he explained it all, you know, but, I mean, we actually have to experience these, yeah, before it become our own wisdom or our own personal, yeah, experience, yeah. And then, once we experience it, we can let go. As I said, you know, what is the difference, yeah, of knowledge, you know, and wisdom, yeah? I mean, everybody of us knows, you know, I mean, if we put our hand in the fire, it burns, yeah? But that is just knowledge, yeah? The experience of fire burning our hand, that is the experience. That is wisdom, yeah? I mean, we might be likely to do these things, you know, that burn our heart, yeah? Not especially, you know, putting our hand in the fire, but we do that constantly, eh? Not physically, you know, but, you know, mentally. We think about these things, you know, that excite us, you know, or think about that side that excite us, yeah. And that is, you know, burning our heart, yeah. And we have to experience it, you know, to be able to let go. That's why I bring up, you know, putting our hand in the fire and always looking in the opposite direction and, you know, blaming everything that is around us, you know, for our problems. Now, the moment we put, you know, we put our attention on actually where the hand is, you know, we see it's on fire, you know, I mean, we instantly remove it from the fire without anybody needing us to tell us to remove it. That is, yeah, that is the letting go of the heart, but we cannot tell the heart to let go, yeah. Otherwise, why would we sit here, you know, and try to practice, you know, practice samadhi or practice vipassana? I mean, if you can just say, oh, I don't want to be reborn, and that's the end of the story. I mean, if I ask people, you know, especially when I ask around, you know, the Thais, yeah, do you want to be reborn? Nobody says, yes, I want to be reborn. Oh, I'm not going to be reborn, yeah? I said, you know, and how are you going to achieve that? Yeah? You achieve that through the Fourth Noble Truth, Sila Samadhi Panya. And that's why we're here, yeah? We are here practicing the Fourth Noble Truth. The practicing of sila, of morality, you know, the practicing of samadhi, getting the mind calm until there's no thoughts and memories coming up, yeah? And then investigating the things that we think is us. And what do we think is us, yeah? It's a body, it's feeling, it's thought, short form of thoughts, it's memory and association, and it's consciousness. Yeah, so we have to investigate. Right? The biggest problem of investigation is this body. When we look at the four stages of enlightenment, you know, in the body, yeah, is the object of investigation until the third state of enlightenment, until anagami. Yeah, first, you know, the disassociation with the body, seeing that the body is not self. Yeah, and that the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah. That the citta is the driver of the body and the body is the body, yeah? And then, still, we still like the body, you know, even if we understand we are not the body. But it's a nice tool, you know, it's so, wow, wonderful, you know, it has all these six senses, yeah? The senses of the eyes, the senses of the ears, the senses of the nose, the senses of the tongue, you know, and the senses of the body, yeah? The touching sense, you know, and the sense of thinking, yeah? I mean, we are attached to it, you know, it's just like, you know, we are attached to our infotainment system in a car, yeah? We like it, you know. We look at here, we look at there, you know. We want to go here and we want to go there. But the driver of the car, you know, is not the infotainment system. Yeah, the car has this infotainment system, just like our body has this infotainment system. Yeah? It is the six senses, yeah, and we love it, yeah. That's why we have to investigate them. Yeah, what is it? You know, what does this? Yeah, when we come out of samadhi, if we've been long enough in samadhi, I mean, we see that the six senses are actually a damn nuisance. Yeah, they constantly shoot at us. Yeah. Constantly coming into our consciousness, constantly coming in, you know, putting our sati, putting our awareness in our way. Look at this, you know, this came in, you know, I hear this now, or I see this now, or I smell this now, and so on, and so on. I feel this now, and so, and I think this now, yeah. Constantly bombarding these senses, yeah. Once we have been, you know, longer in samadhi, I mean, and when we come out, you know, we see, you know, I mean, this bombardment of the senses, and that, you know, comes together with the body. Yeah. So we have to investigate the body. What is the body giving us what we don't have? Yeah? What is the car giving to the driver of the car? Does it, you know, does the car make the driver happy or unhappy? Yeah. I mean, yes, of course, if he's attached to it. And that is our attachment to the body. Yeah? To see the loathsomeness of this body, because whatever we put into the body, when it comes out, we don't like it, yeah? When it goes in, we like it, yeah? Whatever we put on the body, we like, you know? When it comes off the body, you know, we see that it stinks and smells and, you know, I mean, it's really bad, yeah? So we put it in the washing machine, yeah, to get rid of the smell of the body. Yeah, whatever comes out of the body is disgusting. Whatever goes onto the body or in the body is nice. Yeah, and that's where this greed and hatred comes from. Yeah, the likes and the dislikes of this body. Yeah, it's the same with the senses that the body gives us. Yeah, it's a nice word, you know, infotainment system of the body. Yeah. The body, the physical mass, you know, and the six senses is the infotainment system. Yeah? And we are attached to it. Yeah? Especially we love to think. We love to think. And we love to make ideas, you know. We like to plan our future. Yeah, the future has not arisen. Yeah? And we like to dive in the past. Oh, in the past everything was nice. Yeah? The past is gone. We cannot correct it. Yeah, or we dwell on some things, you know, I mean, that we have done wrong in the past, we cannot correct that anymore. Yeah? We should accept it, you know, whatever we've done comes back to us. Be it good, you know, it comes back as good, and be it bad, it comes back as bad. And that's the reality of it. Yeah? And we should be able to accept it, you know, and not delve into the past, you know, or propose something, you know, or project something into the future. Because here is the present moment, and in the present moment everything is happening. Yeah? But we try to, you know, somehow we try to avoid it, you know, and go back to our infotainment system. Yeah, looking at this, oh, this is nice, yeah. There are some nice flowers, or now it is this, or now it is that. Yeah. Or listening, you know, and we don't like this, or we don't like that. So the investigation of the body is the main, yeah, is the main subject, you know, for three stages of enlightenment, for the Sotapanna, for Sakadagami, and for Anagami. Once we reach the stage of Anagami, the body investigation is finished. And if you like to do that, you know, it's up to us, yeah. Remember here, yeah. I mean, why did I come here to Thailand? Because here in Thailand, you know, I mean, here's the true sasana. Yeah? Here's the proper sasana, or the correctly taught sasana. What did the Lord Buddha say? You know, wherever there are arahants here, I mean, that is the true sasana. There is the true sasana, because the people have gone there, yeah? Have gone to Nibbana. So they know the way. Yeah? So they don't teach wrong things. But people who learn from books, you know, can teach wrong things, because their understanding of what the Lord Buddha said might not be, or is in most cases is not the truthful path. Huh? But people who have gone the way up to Nibbana, yeah, and know the path, you know, I mean, they can help us with any question. Yeah? Also, the Lord Buddha, what did the Lord Buddha say? You know, a Sotapanna can help, you know, a worldling with his problems. Yeah, a Sakadagami can help a Sotapanna with his problems. Yeah? An Anagami can help, you know, a Sakadagami with his problems. And the Lord Buddha can help the Arahant with his problems. Yeah, and that's the way it is. Yeah, and that's, you know, and that is, Thailand is the only country, yeah, who had the most Arahants in the whole world. Yeah, since Lumpuman, Lumpu Sao Long Ma, since they came down, you know, I mean, there are at least, you know, 60 up to 100 Arahants here in just this one country. Yeah? Other countries might have one. Yeah, I mean, I don't say, you know, Myanmar might have one, might have a few Arahants, you know. Laos or Sri Lanka, yeah, they might have some, yeah, I don't know. Yeah? But Thailand has the most, huh? So the teaching is, you know, it's a true teaching, yeah. And that's why I came here, to find the true teaching. Because I've been in the West, you know, I mean, I've been, you know, with quite a few teachers, yeah, met quite a few teachers, yeah, in meditation centers, in monasteries, yeah. But I was never satisfied with their teaching, because I've always thought there's something lacking, yeah. There's lacking the truth, you know, how do you get, you know, how do you overcome greed and hatred? And everybody said, you know, I'll just let go, just let go, just don't delve into it. I said, no, this is not the way. Yeah. Until I found, you know, Lungta Mahabho's teaching, and I knew he has gone the way, so he knows the path. Yeah. And if somebody knows the path, he can help you with the path. Yeah. With your own path. Yeah. He can see, you know, what is wrong, and he can see what is, you know, what is right. Yeah. Just like I told you last time, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, I was completely deluded, you know, and with one word or one gesture, you know, he wiped all my delusion, you know, from my heart, you know, and I could see clearly. Without him, you know, I would have been deluded, you know, thinking this, you know, thinking that, you know, and not knowing that I'm completely off the path, even though I thought I was on the path. Okay, with this, you know, I end the talk. If you have some questions, yeah, I mean, please ask them now, yeah. No questions from here, from the audience? No, then, I mean, yeah.
Been against the wall while doing
anapanasati. What? You run against the wall.
Been against.
Yeah. How old are you?
23.
23. I mean, there's a problem, yeah, to lean against the law, but against the wall, you know, but, you know, I mean, it is better, you know, to train it once in a while, yeah. Once you get calm, you know, leaning against the wall, then sit, you know, sit straight up, yeah. The interesting thing about when we enter samadhi, huh? In the beginning, you know, I mean, we sit, you know, half, you know. The moment we really enter samadhi, the body straightens up because the chitta has no control over the body anymore. The chitta is controlled, you know, by the sati, by the awareness of the breath, yeah, knowing in-breath or out-breath or by the Buddha. So the body itself completely relaxes and straightens itself up. Yeah, so get calm, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong, you know, with sitting against the wall. But it's not the same. You don't get as deeply concentrated as when you sit, yeah, sit cross-legged or half lotus or full lotus. Just know that, yeah. The same, you know, I mean, sit on the chair if you think, you know, but, you know, once you get concentrated, then, you know, sit freely, yeah. Okay? Any other question? Mi kam ta mai? Mai mi. So. Maybe you'll put on the light here.
Yes, okay.
No, no. The Malang are gone. Meng Mao. By that. Not all. Just this. Okay?
Die erste Frage ist auf Deutsch.
Ja? Yeah?
Ich meditiere entweder mit Konzentration auf den Atem oder auf das Buddho. Sollte ich mich auf ein Meditationsobjekt konzentrieren oder ist das in Ordnung, eine Meditation mit dem Atem und die nächste mit dem Buddha zu machen?
Ja, vollkommen okay. Ja. Irgendwann wird er mal herausfinden, was besser wirkt für ihn, und dann bleibt er bei dem anderen, ja, bei dem einen. Aber am Anfang ist vollkommen okay.
Okay, nächste Frage. I always wonder if sitting for long hours without changing the posture has a beneficial effect on the body.
A beneficial effect on the body? Yeah. I mean, when he sits and eating or talking to his friends, you know, does it have for long hours, does it have a beneficial? Now, that is not the right question. The right question, does it have a beneficial on your chitta, and this certainly does. The longer we sit, the longer we walk, the more beneficial is it, yeah, for our practice, yeah, to get calm, to get deeper.
What my afterlife will be if I practice mindfulness meditation?
What's your afterlife? That depends on your karma, yeah? But, you know, I mean, as I said, if we can have sati, if we can have awareness at the moment of death, we can choose between our different kinds of karma. If we don't have sati, or if we don't have awareness at the moment of death, we will follow the strongest karma. Be it good karma or be it bad karma. Yeah.
I don't understand how one can develop wisdom by observing the animals or mixing the food together like they talk about in the Ajahn Mun biography. Also, Ajahn Chah says we can use every problem that arises in our life as a way of developing wisdom. How does that happen?
These are too many questions in one question.
Dann vielleicht nochmal die erste. I don't understand how one can develop wisdom by observing the animals or mixing the food together like they talk about in the Ajahn Mun biography.
Observing the animals, gives us the quality of how we should observe the breath. It doesn't develop any wisdom. Yeah? And mixing the food together is trying to get rid of our greed for certain kinds of food. We don't have to do that. We can do it, you know, if we want. You know, I saw a few monks, you know, doing it. You know, others don't do it. I mean, that is up. You know, that is just like the 13 Tutankhas. Yeah. I mean, this is a special training for some of the people who need, you know, to bring out some of the kilesas. Yeah. But wisdom is not developed, you know, in these ways, yeah. Wisdom is developed by asking the question, yeah. How does this food taste, yeah? How does this food, you know, differentiate from the other food, yeah? Why do I like this taste, yeah? Well, what is it, you know, what I like about this taste or that taste? And, you know, if I, you know, put, you know, every kind of food into its 7 tastes, then it's just a mixture of different tastes, you know, and every kind of food has this mixture of 7 tastes, and one I like and one I dislike, it doesn't make any sense. That is developing wisdom. So next part?
Yeah. Ajahn Chah says, we can use every problem that arises in our life as a way of developing wisdom. How does that happen?
If we investigate, if we investigate the problem, our problem comes from karma, but normally we don't do that, because problems constantly arise, because of our greed and of our hatred, So if we cut down on our greed and hatred, the problems don't arise. But some things, if a certain problem comes up, every day or very often, then you go down, what created this problem, So you roll back, you see your reaction towards the problem, and then you roll back what came before that, What was kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, until, like I explained, until you see the stone that drops into the pond and creates all these waves, That is a way of, of developing wisdom. But it's difficult if you don't have sati. You cannot develop wisdom. Because otherwise it's just thinking, if thinking would solve our problems, then, the world would be, would have no problems at all, Thinking does not solve our problems.
What should the lifestyle of a person aiming for stream entry look like? Should he hold 5 precepts or 8 precepts? Can a 9-to-5 worker reach stream entry too?
Yeah, he can. That depends on, how far he has gotten in his previous lives, how good his sati is, But it is very unlikely. He asked if he can, yes, there is a possibility, but the chances, of entering the stream, if one hasn't come very close in his previous life to entering the stream, then it is very slim, the chances. 8 precepts, and being in a meditation center for months, that is certainly seducive, to to entering the stream.
Okay, that's a Frage. Sometimes, in order not to come off as lying, I cleverly distort my statements in a way that avoids the question, but at the same time, it technically is a truth. For example, I have begun to use maybe and not yet in my sentences. Is that still breaking of precepts? Is it wholesome or a bad practice?
And that is very difficult to say. Sometimes the best answer is no answer. If you don't want to answer the question, say, I don't want to answer it, Well, of course, he can, if he avoids the subject of the question, and answers something that is truthfully, there's no problem, But, be honest to yourself, that is the biggest benefit, So I said, I don't want to answer it.
When a certain negative thought, feeling arises, should I reaffirm it with positive thought or just keep sati of breath and buddho?
Just keep, just return to your to your buddho or just return to your breath, Don't even worry about it, I said, unless it is, the same thing, appears, over and over again, every day or every, every week or every few days, then investigate it, But otherwise, you constantly investigate something instead of doing your practice, Do your practice, And if something, a negative thought comes up, just ignore it, and go back to the breath, Just say there's a thought. If you want, you can say there's a thought and now okay, back, buddho, Thoughts arise, we don't have control over the thoughts, But the thoughts come because of our interest in thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why they come. That's how the kilesas can lure us out of meditation. Ah, that's an interesting thought. Where did that thought come from? Yeah, that's how they lure us out of meditation. Yeah, that's their way. Yeah? And if it is negative, yeah, the same thing with a positive thought. You should do the same thing with a positive thought. Yeah, just return back to the Buddha until the mind is free of thoughts and memories. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Any more questions? And then we go back to practice. Yeah.